Perhaps I should have asked this question before, but health and safety, John, that must have been a particular concern. Any comments you'd like to make about that subject?
Yes, I think has been overdone now. The whole idea of health and safety appears to almost stop people doing what logically they ought to. But what I think maybe is wrong is people don't stand back and assess what it is they're trying to do. You now have to do risk assessment and have forms and all manner of things, whereas actually old-fashioned methods of standing and looking at a ladder that's 16 foot up in the air, thinking maybe it should be tied, would be a very good idea, rather than having just to have a form that says this should be tied. The difficulty often is people's training and education into what may or may not be a sensible thing to do. And people do some bloody stupid things on occasions, and I'm afraid no amount of legislation is going to stop them doing that. On the other hand, there was a maintenance foreman whose name I won't try and remember, although I think I've got it, who looked at some dangling wires I pointed out to him in between one of the machine shops, I think, and said, well, they're only 240 volt. That can be good for you in the right circumstances. That might not have been the best approach. But as far as my concern at the time was, I was always very anxious about the overhead cranes and slings. That appeared to me to be high risk, because you were going over people when they were working. And I'm sure the most competent of crane drivers we had was a woman, and used to be boasted of when some of our customers came to the factory, particularly the Russian area, I think, seemed to be introduced, and she was actually physically introduced to many of them as a sort of boast as to how forward-looking we were as a factory. But that was an area I was always concerned about, and changing the slings particularly was something Ron Wilmot, who had an eye for safety as a responsibility, was charged with doing.
Okay, thank you for that. Going on a bit then, John, compared with any other company you may have worked at, how does Fielding & Platt compare? Your thoughts of the workforce, fellow managers, etc.?
I think I would have to say that I felt I had cut my teeth personally in Fielding & Platt. I'd done some fairly heavy and difficult jobs in other companies, but to look back and realise I'd been there just about 5 years appears to be completely wrong to the time I feel I spent at the factory. It was a long 5 years and a very hard 5 years. But what I remember about the company is its resilience, its tremendous background, because in a strange way, even the employees were proud of where they came from, not just the historians of the company, but, you know, as individuals, you wore the Fielding sort of price with pride, and that came through a lot. And with all of the difficulties they were going through, I don't think I can recall bitterness against themselves in a strange way. There was, you know, there was no taking it out on the management, because it appeared to be we were most of the time certainly all desperately fighting together, not fighting each other. And that's what I probably remember most.
Wonderful. Okay, John, you've been at Fielding's about 5 years. And how did those years with the company come to an end? Was there any particular reason? You just wanted to move on, or?
I think it began to be pretty clear that cost cutting was the order of the day again, as it were. And I don't know what the labour force was at that time, but with more help coming from Heenan and Froude, any policy direction was going to be in personnel offered by Heenan and Froude. And so really what was wanted was maybe administration of, you know, record keeping and things like that within the personnel department, and a full-blown personnel manager was no longer really required. If there was a particular tipping point, I think it was probably to do with the fact that the craft school, I felt, should stay, and clearly we were not in a long-term situation where any short-term help was going to be relevant. And so that probably was the tipping point where inevitably it was better to look for an officer personnel rather than a manager personnel.
Okay, thank you for that. Well, you've showed us a great deal, John, about those years you were there. I haven't got any more questions, but is there anything else you'd like to talk about? Have you got any photographs or anything that to hand you would say anything about?
I wasn't much for photographs in those days. I think I've got one of a children's party, but I did try and look for it before we set up today's discussion. But I'm not really able to put my hand on any photographs, and I think we've covered all the points that I can recall after really quite a long time, and it still only is 5 years.
Okay, well, John, on behalf of Brian and myself, I must thank you very much for your and your wife's hospitality and permitting us to interview you. It's been a most interesting thing.
Thank you, John. I'm sorry to butt in here. This is Brian. I'd just like to make a point here, because John and I now have done over 20 interviews right. with ex-fielding personnel, and I have to truthfully say I've been totally enthralled with the comments we've heard today, and I could sit here and go on listening to you, John, forevermore. Thank you very much indeed. It has been most interesting, and I'd like to thank you for your honesty in what you've said, and as I say, on behalf of John and I, thank you very much indeed.
Well, Brian and John, thank you. It's been a pleasure trying to remember the rusty bits that I almost forgot.